Ever wonder how to manage multiple management consoles at once? Novell announces the acquisition of Managed Objects, coming up on Novell Open Audio.
Welcome to Novell Open Audio, the podcast that connects the Novell user community with what's going on inside and around the Novell universe. I'm your host, Aaron Quill.
And I'm Randy Goddard.
And Randy, today we're here to talk about a new acquisition, the acquisition of Managed Objects. Have you even heard about this yet?
No clue. What's this all about?
So Managed Objects is a killer product, or actually collections of products. We're going to get into all the gritty details when we get into the actual interview, but just at a high level, what it allows you to do is to take something like a service, like let's say internally here, our expense service.
Okay.
Okay. What does that thing run on? Well, it runs on top of Oracle, yeah, right?
Some weird Oracle backend.
I'm sure it's got ties into the directory. In order for all that to work, it's got some middleware. You know, it's got that Oracle middleware.
Oh, yeah.
It might have some sort of web front end that's got to be up and running. And we got to make sure the physical layer works, right? So what Managed Objects allows us to do is to define all of those dependencies that are needed for our expense system to work.
Okay.
And then have this beautiful console that watches everything that's going on, take an input from, you know, HP OpenView, from whatever the Cisco management software is. So it looks at all the different management software you've got in your stuff. And that way, when we have a problem that's going on with the expense system, it's very easy for us to see at the same time, oh, wow, you know, the Cisco stuff's been generating alerts. That's the root cause of the problem.
So nice.
And the other thing is, once you have this built in your entire system, when you start to get calls to your help desk and you hear somebody saying, well, we've got a problem with our email package, and then you're getting calls that are coming in at the same time that are saying, hey, we're having problems with the expense system, because all those dependencies are interlinked, it's real easy to look at the system and go, oh, you know what? Actually, these two problems are completely related because the Oracle system's down, or because, you know, whatever the application or the service that they're both dependent on are down. And one final thing that it lets you do is when you're working on these giant problems, it really allows you to prioritize them. Because,
nice.
Again, let's say we've got multiple problems going on where we've got a database problem and a physical layer problem.
Right.
It's easy to see, well, this actual piece of physical layer that's crashed is affecting these five applications or these five services, where this other one is only, you know, the database problem's only bringing down one item. However, that might be the order entry system. So it's real important we get that thing up and running. And of course, at the same time, service level agreements built right in.
So mainly for use in, say, network operations centers.
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic. In fact, he's going to talk about some of the people in the banking industry, some big names that are actually using this to make sure that their services are up and available for customers. So let's go ahead and roll the interview and hear it directly from them what they do. Today in the studio, Ross and I have Dustin McNabb, who is the VP of Marketing for Managed Objects. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. And we also have on the line Ross. Ross, good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Dustin.
We've pulled everybody together today to talk about a recent acquisition of Novell's. We recently purchased Managed Objects, and we asked Dustin to sit down and explain to Ross and I exactly what Managed Objects is and what they do, what kind of technology they bring to the market. Dustin, tell us about Managed Objects.
Well, Managed Objects is an independent software vendor that's been around for over 10 years now. And our customers are largely in the global 2000 ranks. We actually have over 300 customers worldwide. For those customers, we provide business service management software that basically helps our customers to be more effective at managing their IT infrastructure.
Okay, I got to stop you right there, because actually you hit on one of my first questions for you, which is, before this interview, Ross and I went to your website, and all throughout the website, there's this thing saying BSM this, BSM that, and I got to tell you, I had no idea what BSM is.
Business service management basically dynamically links the business services that a company runs to the underlying IT infrastructure that supports those services. Now, what that does for our customers is basically it helps them to minimize risk of making changes to their IT infrastructure. When things break in the IT infrastructure, it helps them shorten the outage duration. And then finally, it gives them a mechanism to communicate the value that IT provides to the business. And quite simply, in doing that, aligns IT more in sync with the business itself.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Dustin, perhaps I can impose on you to drill a little bit deeper. When you talk to customers and you talk to prospects, what are some of the key motivators that you hear from them that are causing them to look at this type of solution?
That's a really good question. In fact, our customer pains or challenges really fit into a number of different areas, but typically they start with the islands of IT information, or rather I should say the silos of IT information that customers have to sort through to understand the componentry and the relationships across the components within their infrastructure, or worse, when outages occur, to help discern root cause and impact analysis. First and foremost, what we do is we help customers to integrate all of the siloed IT management information that they have in their infrastructure today. And this data can come from IBM, it can come from BMC or CA or HP or any number of different products. But basically, we put all of that into a single pane of glass and give our customers a centralized, real-time, role-based console from which they can manage their IT infrastructure and the problems that occur with it.
Oh, okay, so let me make sure that I get that. So I've already got HP OpenView deployed in my environment. I might have Cisco management out there. I might have stuff for IBMs that manage a variety of different systems from them. So you guys kind of sit at a layer above that and then take any alerts or any, I mean, does it get down to like configuration and stuff like that?
Absolutely, and that's a really good point, because first and foremost, we're not a replacement technology, right? We're a complementary technology because we can leverage all of a customer's existing investments in IT infrastructure management. And because of that, you're absolutely right, Aaron, we're a layer on top of existing IT management tools, and from that, we use our own adapter technology, and there's about 70-plus adapters in our library that communicate with underlying agents that have been distributed throughout the infrastructure to support products like BMC or HP or some of the others that you've mentioned. Cisco Works would be a good example.
Okay, so hang on for one second there. So would an agent sit on the HP OpenView console, an agent sit on, you know, the whatever the Cisco management software is on that physical console, or do you talk to the end devices?
We talk to the end devices themselves. So basically, agent information simply needs to be redirected to the adapters that we install for customers. And our adapters can either live on the same machine as the agent software or can live on a managed object server all itself. But the point is that once the agent software has been redirected to our adapters then, quite simply, they gather, they normalize, they reconcile and correlate the various heterogeneous agent information that they're getting and display that all in into a centralized console.
That's incredible. I'd like to play that back for you, Dustin, because I'm thinking in the context of existing Novell customers who may be using Novell solutions in our identity and security space and some of the other solutions we bring to bear. All of those use this same kind of model, a connector to the core system that brings all the data back together, aggregates it, and normalizes it. Is that a fair way to describe what is Managed Objects is doing as well?
Well, that's certainly a description of one part of the description, because if you think of us as a three-layered architecture, that first or lowest layer is all about what you described. But then what Managed Objects does is it goes a step further, because we not only gather, normalize, and reconcile all of that information, we can actually create a model of the logical and physical IT infrastructure. Now, let me separate those two thoughts, because there's, we all know about the physical IT infrastructure. That's the routers, servers, switches, and applications, and everything else that comprises the physical components running in the enterprise. Then on top of that, there are all the services, right, that the servers and the databases and the applications support. Services can be online trading, order processing, or even email. Right, and it's really that logical relationship within the model that's so important to the managed objects core technology. Because what one thing that we do as part of creating this model is we manage not only the state of all the objects within that model, but also the relationships across that model. So we know how one component not only affects another component. We can understand in real time how individual components affect the services they support.
Yeah, that's a very telling distinction between some of the other things that exist in the marketplace, isn't it?
Actually, it is. And in fact, we can take that a step further, because you think about that I talked about three layers, and we talked about the integration. And then the second layer, that intelligence layer, we start with that model of the IT infrastructure. On top of that model, then, I can start applying some really cool applications. Applications for a CMDB, for instance. Applications for a service catalog. Applications for impact management. All of these are separate applications that can be applied to the model and provide customers with OTH for impact management. Things like root cause and impact analysis of real-time problems that are occurring within the IT enterprise.
So Dustin, one question that's obviously going to come up. When a customer looks to implement this kind of solution, do they have to do it all at once?
No, and that's a really good point. I appreciate that, Ross, because one of the things that we pride ourselves in is having a modular solution. So we focus on individual customer needs, and this gets back to the challenges that you talked about earlier on. I mean, some of our customers have challenges in the area of just simply understanding what's in their IT infrastructure, right? And so we've got a CMDB solution that's just focused on helping them to better understand not only what's in their IT infrastructure, but all of the relationships across the components, or what we call CIs, configuration items, within that infrastructure. On the other side, for customers that are having that are drowning in silos of information and are having difficulties when they have outages, they're having difficulties mitigating the damage from those outages and shortening the duration of those outages. We can shorten outage duration by as much as 50% or more with our managed object software.
Okay, so hang on for a second. I just want to make sure that in the real world, I understand what you're talking about. You're saying that because we've pulled all these different management components together with all your agents and everything, when we have an outage or a problem, it's a lot easier to see, oh, it was caused, or we can definitely see something's going on the physical layer because we're getting that information from some of the Cisco equipment, but at the same time, we can see that this has caused outages that are affecting our databases or our Oracle systems, right?
Right, or SAP, or order processing, or online trading, you know, any of your mission critical applications. Because we have a comprehensive model of not only your IT infrastructure, but the logical services that infrastructure supports, we can very easily understand how the services are being affected by components. And what does that mean to customers today? Well, basically, they no longer have to sort through what we term the sea of red. Or oftentimes, when components fail in an IT infrastructure, they send out hundreds or even thousands of alerts. And it's up to IT operations then to try and sort through, you know, which are the bad ones and which are the really bad ones. Well, because we maintain that relationship between component and service, right, we can help IT operations prioritize the alerts that they're getting and only focus on those that are affecting their most mission-critical applications.
So I can see this being real nice for help desks as well, because a typical call that's going to come into a help desk is the expense system is not working properly, where this is going to kind of give me the nice high-level view of what's going on, where I can see kind of all the dependencies that are required for that expense application to run properly, right? You know, that is it the Oracle database that's causing the problem? Is it an underlying physical layer problem? Is it something with middleware? That's the type of information I'm going to get from this, correct?
Absolutely, because remember, what we're doing within the model itself, we were able to record real-time state of individual components, and we're able to interpret the state of the overall service itself, right? And we use rules to do that. But the point is, for the individual components themselves, when a component fails or is about to fail and alerts get sent, we can understand how the business is being impacted from a service perspective.
So, Destin, perhaps I can ask you to step up just a level, because you've used some terminology, and I want to make sure that our listeners are understanding the context that you're speaking in and that we all have a common definition. So you've talked about CMDB, and boy, do we hear that phraseology a lot. I'm not sure that everybody's on the same page from a definition perspective. Could I ask you to start there and give us a really quick assessment of what that means and what it means to the customer, not just the technology?
That's a great question. The idea of the CMDB is not a new concept. It's one that goes back, gosh, almost 20 years and was invented by the IDLE organization, or the ITSMF organization. IDLE stands for IT Information Library. And it was a framework developed by the UK government to define processes and governance for managing incidents, problems, configuration, change, and a number of other different IT operational processes. More recently, within the last 5 years, a number of large enterprises have adopted the IDLE framework and incorporated that into their own IT organizational processes with the goal of making their organizations more mature and thereby delivering higher service quality levels through their organizations. Now, the CMDB, or Configuration Management Database, is a fundamental concept of IDLE. And think of an asset database. An asset database, I think most of us are familiar with, is nothing more than a list of components in your IT infrastructure. It could be a server, it could be a laptop, right? It could be a router or a switch. It has a list of properties or attributes that go along with that server, how much memory it has, how much disk space it has, you know, how many CPUs, how fast are the CPUs, and when it was put in service. So it's got a lot of attributes. Now, the CMDB takes that asset database one step further, because the CMDB not only has that information, it also has relationship and dependency information as well. So I know that this particular server goes with that particular application, goes with that particular database, right? And all of this is connected to this specific network. I now understand how everything is connected together. That information is critical if you're going to make changes to your IT infrastructure. We've had customers report to us that upwards of 60% of their IT outages are caused by plan changes. Well, why is that? That's basically because they don't have a clear understanding of the relationships or dependencies, or they don't have a comprehensive understanding of their overall IT infrastructure. So this solves all of that by giving customers a very comprehensive understanding of their infrastructure, along with the relationships across all the components that live within that infrastructure.
So that's a very complex infrastructure, and it changes consistently over time. So you talked earlier about the ability to connect to all these different systems. Is that discovery process an integral part of what one would build in building this infrastructure, to gather that information, both initially to populate the CMDB and then to keep it up to date, or is that a manual process?
Right, and that's a really good question, too, because there's a significant part of the CMDB creation that can be automated. Now, by the way, we don't recommend that companies should go out and buy a CMDB and just boil the ocean, so to speak, and try and create an exact image of their overall IT infrastructure. For some complex organizations in these billion-plus companies, that's a very large undertaking. So we really recommend taking a top-down approach, starting with a service at a time. You know, pick a mission-critical application, maybe SAP, for instance, and just focus on discovering those particular assets that go with SAP or online trading or order processing. Now, you can use a number of different mechanisms with managed objects. Because our adapters collect information from HP and OpenView and other products that already have topology information within them, we can construct a pretty good portion of the CMDB information itself. Some customers do choose to supplement that with discovery, but that's optional, right? We can get you 70 to 80% there with just the adapter information that we collect from your existing infrastructure and infrastructure management tools. If you choose to employ discovery, then you can bring that accuracy well above 90 or even 95%. Now, by the way, it's still not always going to be 100% because there's tribal knowledge that exists about the IT infrastructure that's only in people's heads. And so for that reason, we've just recently introduced another product. We call it MyCMDB. That's basically a social networking product that provides a way to easily visualize the CMDB as well as communicate about it in a social networking paradigm. And through that mechanism, because people can communicate about what's accurate or not accurate, they can readily make changes to the model and make it a more accurate entity, much like Wikipedia works over time.
That's funny because as you were describing that end portion, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. I'm a big fan of wikis and just how much that helps of having the information out there and available to people, yet giving people the power to go make changes to it when something's wrong or something doesn't make sense.
Think about MyCMDB as a combination of like Facebook and Wikipedia, Delicious, and even Google contextual search. And it's really focused on making the CMDB more usable and more accessible to a broader range of people, not only within IT, but the business as well.
So when you look at the website, Dustin, for example, we've talked at some great length about CMDB, and that's been marvelous. You've also talked about discovery and how that population occurs and identified some new services. But earlier, you spoke about three things that I think are going to be really relevant to Novell's customers and our partners. Application impact management. You started to talk about how applications really do impact the business, but I think we'd all like to understand better how the management of that impact can really change the game for people. You also talked about knowing this in real time, and typically that refers to things like dashboarding. And then the final question that I would have if I were a CIO is, how do I align this to the service level agreements that I look for my own teams in terms of what we deliver to our customers?
Let's start with application impact management. When we first started this discussion, we started with some of the challenges that our customers are focused on right now. And quite frankly, it revolves around this idea of just basically trying to get a better handle on when things break, what's broken in the IT infrastructure, right? How do I isolate it? How do I prioritize it? And how do I fix it as quickly as possible? Well, with Application Impact Manager, what we do is we use that adapter technology to gather and normalize that heterogeneous IT management information onto a single pane of glass. Let's talk about that single pane of glass concept for just a second, because on that single pane of glass, I'm seeing a compilation of information from a number of different information sources. And by the way, the information that's being presented is all being presented in real time. So what I'm seeing is the status of the services and the status of the underlying components that support those services in real time. In addition, Manage Objects integrates analytics that can be applied to the visual dashboards that we present so customers can interact with their environment. Let me give you a couple examples. If I see a problem has arisen in a particular server or a particular service, let's pretend it's a billing service, and I want to understand which component has failed. I need only perform a right-click operation with the mouse to drill down and understand all of the components that support that billing service. After drilling down into the individual components, Manage Objects will report which of those is having difficulty, and it's one more right-click operation that I can discern the exact root cause or get down to the exact event or alert that has caused my overall billing issue. That makes the problem much more easy to isolate and makes it much easier to fix as well. And by understanding that the particular service that is being affected, I can much more easily prioritize fixing a billing issue versus maybe going and fixing, say, an HR issue, which might have a parallel but less priority to fix. Now, I think I've answered two out of the three questions that you just gave me, Ross. I focused on AIM. We talked about the centralized management of an IT infrastructure. And oh, by the way, that's interactive, not only to the point of drilling down, but also interacting with the infrastructure itself. Because one of the things I didn't talk about was our adapter technology. It's actually bilateral communication that we use. And many of our adapters communicate through native APIs into the individual subsystems that they interface. So, for instance, with HP OpenView, we're actually talking to HP OpenView itself. And if customers want to acknowledge alarms or suppress alarms, they don't need to switch consoles. They can do all of that from the Manage Objects console. Likewise, if an issue arises and I need to create a trouble ticket, I don't need to jump over to Remedy. I can actually create a trouble ticket right from Manage Objects. So a very powerful bidirectional concept that I wanted to raise. Now, you talked about SLAs. Actually, we have a service level management module built into Manage Objects. It's yet one more module that is part of our modular suite of solutions. But the point is that if customers would like to create SLAs, we provide them with an automated way that's all template driven. So it's very easy through wizards and templates to create SLAs on their IT infrastructure or applications and monitor those in real time, because once we've created an SLA for a customer, we'll help them monitor proactively and actually report to them when SLAs are about to be breached.
That's very, very cool. We know that when we talk to senior executives, particularly in the IT organizations, they have a customer set who expect a set of service deliverables on a going forward basis. But that also means that the services consumed by IT to create these deliverables also need to have SLAs in place. And to be able to correlate all of that together in a single place, I would think, would improve the overall return on investment of any of these management infrastructures and may in fact allow them to deliver new services in a more cost-effective and certainly a faster time frame. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. You just look at a couple of examples of our customers. Fidelity Investments is a great example because they actually use our technology to monitor their F5 load balancers. Now, this is for Fidelity.com, so this is a very mission-critical application. They use basically three data centers and three major networks across the country. F5 load balancers are strewn across the country as well to monitor traffic flowing across that network. And when problems arise, they need to be able to quickly isolate that problem and swing loads of traffic to other networks. Through our technology, oh, and by the way, when they did that manually, that could take anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes. With our technology, they're actually able to identify and swing loads of traffic in something less than 10 seconds. I look at our customers in general. I think I reported this earlier that basically customers that implement our Manage Objects technology are able to find, isolate, and remediate IT issues about 50 to 70% faster than they could using manual or other means.
That's an amazing statistic and something that we want to make sure that all of our listeners understand, that this really, really shortens the time to deliver on some of these key business initiatives. So help me out here, Dustin. When people start to look at building a BSM project, where do they start?
What we try to get across to customers is that BSM can be approached from the top down in a very simple stepwise manner, right? And it all begins by identifying the one, two, or three mission critical services that an individual company provides to the business. By identifying that one mission critical application and then instrumenting around that one critical application, we can start to build BSM applications to monitor outages or to produce CMDB information in as little as 90 days or less. Novell customers now have access to this whole idea of pervasive integration of heterogeneous IT management solutions. So they too can, like our own Manage Objects customers, better manage their IT infrastructure through that single pane of glass mechanism. In addition to that, comprehensive CMDB capability that they can adopt, and most importantly, a unique role-based pervasive visualization mechanism to visualize not only the Manage Objects products that are coming into the fold, but also the Novell products as well. If you look out on the Managed Objects side, I think the advantages for our Managed Objects customers are tremendous, because no longer can we be attributed with the stigma of being just a small company. You know, our biggest competitors up until now have been the big four, unfortunately, which is a double-edged sword. It's good and bad. But, you know, one of the stigmas that we've had to live with is that of being tagged a small company. Well, we're part of Novell now, so no longer are we a small company. I think that's great, and it's great for our customers because it gives our customers broader access to support and service personnel. It gives our customers broader access to the capabilities of development, right? So we can put more people, invest in our development and R&D endeavors. And finally, it gives all of our customers a continued commitment from both sides, Novell and Manage Objects, to a wholly vendor-neutral approach, which I think is a fresh breath of air, especially when you compare it to some of the other vendors in the world that really are focused on making their customers zero in on one set of products or tools.
Well, Dustin, thanks a lot for taking a chance to sit down and talk to Ross and I and bring us up to speed on what's going on with Managed Objects.
My pleasure today, and I really had a great time talking with you, Aaron, and you too, Ross. It was good meeting you both.
Great.
So that was pretty long and in-depth. We didn't cover all of their products, but I really liked being able to hear about that single pane of glass to really see what's going on inside your organization. And, of course, the other thing that I liked was what they talked about, pulling all of the information together from within your
environment. Yeah, the tribal knowledge piece.
The tribal knowledge. I love that word, tribal knowledge. And being able – because, you know, a lot of people have CMDBs. I love the whole thing, the whole idea of the MyCMDB, where you're able to take all that knowledge that your individual people have and go in and modify and enhance and change stuff that's in the CMDB.
Knowledge management.
Excellent. Yeah, and we'll hear more from those guys later as we start to take some of their technology and integrate it into the rest of the products that we have in the Novell product suite. Thanks a lot for listening this week. That's the end of this week's episode of Novell Open Audio.
Remember that Novell Open Audio is brought to you by Novell Users International, as well as Novell Incorporated. Most of our content is directed by our listener community, so please send us your feedback by email at openaudio@novell.com or by leaving comments on our website at novell.com/openaudio. That's it for this time. Have a good one.